PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. You know the weirdest part about doing this is I remember we're on video now, so I can't wave my hands in the air and do a bunch of nonsense while I'm doing that intro, because I think it's kind of awkward, but everyone seems to like it. So here we go, the biggest run-on sentence in the world. Either way, we're back for episode, I think this is like 203, and joining me this week, salvaging a last-minute conversation, is my boy James Miles. You'll find his excellent work on the Hackers Paradise homepage. He's an awesome writer over there, giving you the inside knowledge on new product coming out in the industry. Either way, Mr. James Miles, welcome back.
Back again, and now they can see me.
Isn't that horrible?
It's kind of scary.
So I want to know if anyone like actually starts watching or listening to these, and it's like they get to the office after their drive, and like, well, I could watch the rest. I don't know, dude. Do you feel like as a regular digester of online content, do you stick with one form, or once the other's available, do you go for it?
Well, last week was my first like trip up with that, because Yagley doing his Yagley things, I was like, ooh, I'm going to get to see something I'm not supposed to see. So I typically listen audio on the way to take kids to and from school. But now like I got back to the house and got in the garage and the sim to start doing some work, and I put it on the TV. So that was cool. So I actually listened twice, sir.
Not bad. It's kind of it's an interesting concept, because first of all, Yags is an absolute legend of the business. Like the
yeah, thanks for having me follow the genius. I appreciate
that. You know what
I
love about him? And I'm going to say this, because if anyone hasn't listened last week, you should go. What I love about Mike Yagley is he tells a story, but it sounds like he's telling you a secret. Like just the way he comes about or goes about it, it just sounds like he's telling you something he shouldn't. And I don't know, dude, I love it.
No, it's Yags is the best. He's way better than that Jose guy that scared of me still. So
never heard of him. Especially when we talk about Hackers Blue and you know, all the good things that could be coming from this year's Morgan Cup. But yeah, let's focus on you for a bit. You've been on the show quite a bit, so everyone's familiar with your work. They're familiar with your madness, and they also know that regardless of how many things I've written down, we're not going to cover any of it.
Accurate.
But here's what I want to talk about, because it is. We're in May now. Somehow we're already in May, which means you have to post your scores. We might actually play in some good golf. And I heard a little rumor, and by that I mean you sent me a picture of your scorecard today, and it was quite good. So what's going on with your game?
So after last time I was on, I think after we went out to Ballyhack and got back, I got rid of my soft cap. So that was victory number one. The soft cap died quickly, and I was back to reality. But today... Well, the other day I went out and things were a little bit better, and I told one of my guys here I play with, you know, I feel like I'm close. And so I went out today and I shot 268 in an hour and 37 minutes.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. 1 hour and 37 minutes. What's it like to play seven holes and shoot a 68?
That felt special. Thank you.
Dude, that is fast.
So, yeah, I mean, the nice thing is like right now, because it hasn't gotten hot here, so a lot of the older guys at the club still want those 10 to 11 and 12 o'clock tee times. So now that we've gone modern and I can book my tee times online, which is the greatest thing in the history of everything, I can book a full 7 days worth of 8 or 8:10. I'm going to be the first one off. So I drop off kids and then I'll go to the course and I'll go play. So I'm out there with maintenance and there's no one in front of me. So it usually takes about an hour 40 somewhere in there to play. If I'm playing better, it's faster. If I'm playing worse, then I just want to go to the bar afterwards and drown away my pain.
You have officially activated the first unintentional conversation of the day.
Ah, yes.
And I felt this past weekend. So, we've had a couple of interesting scenarios to start the year. I actually had a couple guests out to the course, and following us that day was a regular group of, I think, 16 guys who typically play afternoon weekend rounds. And now that you're, you know, a proud member of a private golf club, you have ownership of that experience. So when you bring people out, not only do you want them to have fun, but you also feel like you have sort of an ownership of their pace of play. If you're anything like me, and my worry is when I bring people out, like, look, it's a golf course that can be easy if you make it easy, but it's also a golf course that can be incredibly hard if you make it hard, which is, you know, what a lot of people love about it. So my fear is always like, can we, because we have a fairly strict pace of play policy at my golf course, can we keep up with the group in front of us? And fortunately for me, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, the group in front of us, which had a friend of mine in, was actually going through a match. So we were waiting on every hole. Oh. So I'm getting heckled behind me. I'm like, dude, you can see
it's
me.
Not
waiting.
My fault.
Yeah. As much as you can see a couple of my guys digging through the places you shouldn't go, we're definitely on pace. So it actually had me thinking, like, what is a reasonable expectation? And in this case, it was quite slow, slower than we were used to playing. And then follow that up to a couple of days later, a week later, we're playing in a more normalized time, like middle morning, and our pace is under 4 hours, but we have people basically just chewing on our ankles.
Right on your heels, yeah.
And it's like, I have this internal battle because I love the idea of playing in about 4 hours or maybe even a little bit less than that. I think our pace on that day was like 3 hours and 45 minutes. So we weren't holding... Well, realistically, we're not holding up 99% of golfers.
No, that's pretty quick for how stretched out your course is.
Right. So our pace is good, but we're also got these guys behind us. And again, there's nowhere to go. There's never more than a half a hole in front of us. But I am personally of the belief that once you know there's nowhere to go, there's no reason to be urgently waiting on every tee box. So we sort of casually make our way around, always within half a hole of the group in front of us, which was actually a twosome, who was waiting on a couple foursomes. So what's your take on that, James? Is America getting a little bit too aggressive when it comes to pace of play?
I think in situations like our courses, it can be. And I mean, on ours here, our layout is so old school and tight that everything is just right there. So that's part of why I can play as fast as I do. It all flows really quickly. But I will say, like, the pro shop and the guys there, they're big on, for us, it's that 3 hour mark is what they want people in on. If you can push three and a half for the membership that's usually out there, it's pretty good. But we've got a few groups that tend to bog everything down, but they're never going to let anybody play through. So if I go off in the afternoons, I get what you had going on. I have two, maybe three tee times in front of you, and they're not going to let you play through because of the ones in front of that, and then everybody's stacked up behind you. So I always try to, and I was always that way when I was still coaching my kids at our course, is like, if there's nowhere to go, make use of your time, make sure they don't feel like that you're holding them up, but also you shouldn't press the group in front of you, and the group behind you shouldn't press you. I think we're just grumpy as people nowadays.
Well, did you say 3 hours is a standard pace of play at your golf course?
I mean,
that's so fast.
Well, I mean, so our course plays about, it's from the back tees, which is where OSU used to play. And for the back tees, it's listed at about 65, but it plays like 68, 69 because of the way the layout is. And there's OB on 13 holes. Man. So,
But
when you go, like, I'm telling you, the way that the course is laid out, it's why I can walk in 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours and 15 minutes, because it's just a straight, like, the way the shot works, it's on you. Like, even if you're sideways a little bit, you can still play in a really quick time. So me and typically the other guys that are out there, when we have a slow day, our slow days are usually at four at most. And that, wow, that feels, and the damnedest thing about it is that feels like grueling out there.
That's crazy.
So it is crazy because coming from public golf, where after COVID, everything got so swamped, like you're not going to sniff 4 hours. You're just not.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like here anymore. I haven't, you know, being that I very much enjoy using the golf course I pay money for. I don't.
And it's an awesome course, so that helps.
I don't tend to play a lot of public golf because I have a membership I'm very invested in utilizing. So, but you know, when I go anywhere, it's like expecting to play in under 4.5 is pretty unrealistic. So to hear three and three as an expectation is wild to me. Even my course, which I thought was pretty strict about it, is like in that 410, 415 range for overall expectations, but the guys get a little grumpy when it's four plus, you know what I mean?
And I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. And I think part of it with this course is everything has gotten a lot younger. Like the average age of the membership is really leaning towards where I'm at now in that 40 range. Whereas we only have a handful of groups that are the older guys, right? And I think that plays a role with it. There's not so many of the people that just want to get away from wife in the house or whatever else is going on because they're retired and spend all day there. It's the guys with kids and everything else to do that want to go out and play around, have fun with the guys, but get back and do everything else they need to. I think that's a big part of it that's kind of starting to change. And it's been interesting to be intermingled within all that as far as where I'm at. And it's unique being a college town, but we also have, I mean, Stillwater's not huge. And we also have two other golf courses in town. So yeah, that kind of takes some of the burden off of it. And I think our membership is limited to like 400, something like that.
Okay. It's hard to find balance too, especially when you're different parts of the day. Like I understand that first hour is definitely a tone setter, and there's expectations that you should definitely play either at usually better than pace. But like I take my wife and son out in the afternoon. It's like, listen, we're not slow golfers, and frankly, he's pretty aggressive on making sure we're playing at a good pace. So obviously learned the right way. But you know, the expectation of playing super fast with them is sort of unrealistic. So like there has to be an understanding of these clubs that there are certain times to expect it. Like, for example, Monday or Tuesday morning is a good time to expect a really fairly quick round, whereas you know, Saturday afternoon, there's a lot of families at that golf course.
And, and I mean, I don't want everybody to think that like we're just straight up, it's 3 hours or bust everything. Because what you said is the truth. Like as you get towards the afternoons, pace slows. The course knows the pace is going to slow because the tee sheet's full. Likewise for us, Tuesday mornings are, it's ladies' day, and they've got tee times from 8 o'clock until about 11:30. So all the other groups back in right on top of that 11:30 because everything's back. So Tuesdays for us are really slow. I usually don't ever play on Tuesdays because of that. And I say really slow. It's just once you get used to a certain pace, as you know, going to something else is hard. Like, yeah. I mean, me and my scramble team are getting ready to start playing in these fundraisers and all these other stuff again. And I'm dreading a 5.5 hour round.
Yeah, that's golf aided by whatever alcohol is available.
Correct. Is what that is. Correct. Whatever's cold at that point. Yeah.
Man. All right. So 68 on a par 70. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, okay. It's 65, but it plays longer than what it is.
Well, no, 68 is the score, but the,
oh yeah,
the
no, yeah, is
par it was, 70.
Yeah, it was par 70. 34 on the front, 36 on the back.
Did that elevate you from soft cap status, or did you already have beaten out soft cap?
I already beat soft cap out. Okay. I shot a 77 when we got back from Briggs Ranch. So that kind of kicked me back out of that. It was enough to kick me out of it, which made me very happy because like I said last time, I didn't have any plans of lingering where I was, and the longer it took, the more painful it was. But so we're kind of in a more reasonable and acceptable realm. It still needs to get lower, but obviously based on today, we're pretty close to that.
Can I talk to you a bit about my current emotional struggles with the handicap?
I love your emotional struggles with the handicap.
I thought I had it solved. I thought I was like, you know what? We're in good standing. The soft cap, you know, I might take a bowling if I get soft capped again where I was, but, yeah, so basically, because of the changes I'm trying to make, it's cost me enough strokes around where everything has been like somewhere between 76 and 79, like ridiculously consistently across the board. And it's still early in the year. We just started posting about a half month ago, and I'll be honest, I've been dropping so many balls and hitting extra shots and, you know, taking those mullies that I haven't really posted much this year.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but I'm seeing, you got to see it firsthand. There's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yes.
Especially for this driver game. You saw probably the best driver showing I've had in 4 years.
Years.
So there is definitely optimism that exists. However, I went out there. So let's set the stage. So my current handicap was a 3.9, okay? So my boys convinced me, oh, come play in the Derby Day event. It'll be super fun. Bring Laura, my wife, and, you know, they all love playing with her because she is awesome and entertaining and basically carries everyone else. More in scrambles, but, you know, we unfortunately realized at the start of the event that it was not a scramble. It was actually a best ball. Two best balls of four.
Okay.
So let's just say Team Edwards carried on the day. The other boys were a little bit wrapped up in Mr. Miller Lite and mediocrity. So we make our way around. I'm posting these scores, and I'm looking at my back nine. So we start on 18. We finish on 17, and I birdied 17 to finish. And boy, did we need it, because my buddies were in pocket. So that was the thing. And, you know, 17's over the water, so it's not an easy hole. So I'm, like, adding these numbers up. I'm like, oh, no. This is not good. So I post a 68, right? Yay for me. Great golf. Listen, I will always defer to the better score, but this is my post better score rant, so I've enjoyed that part of it. And also turns out my golf course is a really cool thing where they celebrate low gross at every event. So that we got destroyed in handicap, as you would. You know, other teams apparently have much more impressive handicaps than we do.
Funny how that works. Yeah.
Whatever. That doesn't matter. But they apparently celebrate low gross, and I ended up winning it by 3 strokes, and I got credit book, which is really cool. So not only did I have to parade around the reality of my score for the next 24 hours and everyone having a little bit of fun with me, but here's the real kicker. After a freaking year and a half or 2 years of 76, 77, 78, 79, 80 on the handicap, I build it up to a 3.9.
That's what you said, yeah.
They post the score, the guys in the pro shop, and I go back the next day to play my next round, and I'm a 1.8.
Dang!
So my handicap, which already isn't doing enough for me in a handicapped event, is just cut in half instantly. And it's like, dude, can I get hard capped? Can we hard cap, please?
That's wild.
Isn't that nuts?
I understand how the handicap system works, and at the same time, I do not understand how it works because of some of the changes that happen so drastically.
Now, I will say, there's a score I need to post from Ballyhack that was quite good. It wasn't as good as I thought it was. I ran through the numbers in my head. It wasn't. I thought it was a 68 there, but it was actually a 69, and I just hadn't had a chance.
Oh, darn.
To put it in there. Well, that was a big one. We had some fun with that one, but it's like, at this point, I have no way of getting it back to my goals now are just play good golf or don't play in anything. So I'm like back into that world again. And dude, I don't know if I like that or not. I think it's hard because everyone talks about, well, I have a handicap. Well, I can use my handicap. I've even read things recently where people talk about how good they are. But it's all based on a handicapped event. It's just like, dude, I don't understand. If you're playing good, your handicap should come down, and correct. It should be to the point where you're playing at level with your handicap. And I've never minded having a low handicap, but it's just like, I know at this point that I can't play in anything that's handicapped because I will get obliterated in it.
I mean, I think that's kind of the, oh, dang, whoops. sorry about the loud noise there, everybody, with my hand hitting the mic. No, I think that's the nature of it. And I'm starting to get exposed more to it now that I belong to the course that I do, because we have all the events.
I thought you were going to say now that you're not soft-capped again.
No, I was going to. I mean, I'd like that to be the one and only time that happens. But reality is winners suck. And sometimes I do more damage than I do good out in the sim. But I mean, I'm getting exposed to it more. Like, we've always played, me and a bunch of my buddies here, in scrambles or best balls and stuff like that that are handicapped. And you kind of know going in, based on how much we're paying to play in those, the kind of guys you're getting. Most of them aren't the sandbagger types, but it's interesting to be exposed to all the rest of it and the impact that a handicap can have on how much fun you let yourself have. I mean, I tried my best to not get hung up on it anymore, but I think it's just my nature to kind of dwell on it at times, if that makes sense.
Well, I think a lot of people, I don't know what the right word is. They manage their handicap. You know, my goal is to shoot as low as I can every time I go out there.
Yeah. Every round I play, to me, it's what do I do against par?
So,
right.
Yeah. So for me, if I don't do that, listen, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to get mad about it anymore. I might get mad if it keeps being bad, but you know, I'm pretty balanced at this point. And if I am getting a little cranky, I'll just get a beer or something like that and I'll be fine. But here's the follow-up scenario to that. So we go out the next day and I started hot again. I'm, you know, parring my first six holes. I threw two birdies in there. So I'm like minus two through seven.
And
like,
here we go.
And I'm cruising and I'm like, wait a minute, am I good at golf again? Like, is this happening? And then I get up in the eighth tee box and I crank two out of bounds with a four iron. And I'm like, well, you know, that was short lived. Can I get soft cap from out of bounds? And then of course, but that's not the real story here. The story is that my playing partner, who is also happens to be my member guest, who is definitely invested in my handicap, goes, well, it's good for the handicap. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, yeah, but it feels like shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good right now. Like, yeah, I'll take a double here. I can't take any more than a six on this hole, a par four, but like, I hate the idea of just managing a handicap. I want it to be as low as I can, but once I get it there, it's like, okay, now I can't do all the other stuff.
Do you think the majority of people who manage a handicap just don't get to play as much as they want to? So when they do get to go out and play in these different events, they care so much about their handicap because they base their enjoyment off of it, which to me, that then makes other people who are, I don't want to say better because it's not necessarily the case, but it makes everybody else start to manage their handicaps because they want the thing to actually be freaking competitive. I don't know, man. It's this whole like spiraling thing. I don't like it.
There's a guy in a group of one of the larger groups that I used to play with, that was in a pretty big money game at my golf course. And he had a saying, he's don't ever make a putt you don't need to make. And it's just like,
I can't do that, man.
I mean, that is like, if I'm not trying to make it, you just give it to me. I don't know what we're doing here. I've never looked at it that way. Right.
I can't do it that way.
And you know, even when I was soft cap, I'll admit this, when I got soft capped, dude, I started throwing garbage at my handicap, just absolute nonsense. And it never really did anything. Cause like next round I'd play okay. And it would completely erase it anyway. But it's like, oh, you know, I lipped the putt there and then took it back and then rolled it in. So, I'm going to give myself a bogey there and just like stupid stuff like that. Mm-hmm. First of all, it felt dirty. Like it felt like I was just posting nonsense. But the other thing is like, is that really what you want to define yourself as? Is this guy who just can't quite make these putts or, you know, whatever it might be. Now, the other thing is just change everything about your clubs. I think that's a very good way of maintaining a handicap. And
it's done wonders for me over the years with my job. Yeah.
But dude, I don't know. I would really love, we're going to get a conversation going on the THP forums about this, or even on social, you'll see some of the links to the podcast be out there. Like, let us know what you do with your handicap. Is it something you're very proud of, or is it something you maintain? I think those are two really different things.
I agree. I'm
super curious about that, but dude, it feels good to play decent golf again. It feels good to hit a driver square again. There's a lot to work on yet. I love the idea of making it like, I didn't realize how easy golf was with that kind of move until you know, you don't have it. It's like, the way I used to play, if you remember at all,
I remember.
I'd totally eliminate the right side. It would just be a lazy turnover draw every time. And then the irons and wedges are irons turned over, wedges were fairly straight, putter was fairly consistent. And
fairly consistent.
Dude, the idea that the ball goes both ways now is so scary when you're trying
to score. It's terrifying, isn't it? Yes. I mean, that was like, I spent, by the end of last year, I was hitting a draw off of everything, including the tee for the first time in my life. And we go into winter time, and that was my issue with getting soft capped, is all of a sudden, like, it's a two-way miss. And I'm like, oh, now I understand what everybody talks about, how scary a two-way miss is.
Right.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Briggs real quick, because I mean, that course is super cool. It's part of the Dormy Network. Folks have seen it. There's actually some YouTubers have been there and done their thing there, which is super fun to see over again. But we had a chance to go and play there a couple weeks ago. What's your take on Briggs Ranch, buddy?
I think Briggs is, it's kind of beastly. But not, I don't, so like for me, Briggs, I love it because it's the like being an Oklahoma kid who spent most of his time in Texas and Oklahoma and everything else, like it's visually what I expected it to be when we got down there. Like nothing is too terrifying. But the green complexes are gnarly, which is both fun and at the same time it just kind of melts your brain a little bit, which I had a pretty good wedge day out there, so that kind of helped with it on a lot of things. But I mean, for the Dormy courses, I've played Ballyhack and I've played Briggs now. I prefer Ballyhack, but that's because of the visuals. As far as just playing a course, I think that Briggs is a lot of fun, and it makes you realize you can play a golf hole more than one way, if that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, my golf course is the definition of play it five times, five different ways. That's cool. Yeah, I thought it was cool. We got to stay in Casitas. The ninth hole, at the end of the ninth hole, features a taco truck, which are some of the best tacos I've ever had in my life.
Yes, those were incredible.
Little pro tip, don't drink two of the frozen transfusions between rounds. It's not a good strategy for quality contact.
Or do,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, dude. We got that second.
It depends 18. On your day out there, man.
I was like, I don't know if I'm good at golf right now or just, you know, emotional. That was crazy. I thought it was a really cool golf course. I don't have the same level of experience locally that you do. I think they set it up beautifully. I think the character on some of the angles, and we played it at a distance that's fairly gettable. So,
yeah, you know, for sure.
The ability to attack a couple of greens, and I think right before you see the longhorns that are out on the golf course, there's a hole that's quite firm that you can just lumber your way up to the front of the green if you hit it hard enough. So that was both thrilling and surprising, you know, just little things like that I really enjoyed.
Got personality. The course has personality.
There's like I think four or five golf holes that you can either play safe with a hybrid or a long iron off the tee and hit a wedge in, or you can threaten a corner, threaten a really narrow element, or threaten a bunker, and really let it pay off. I love that about it.
Well, that's kind of like, I'd like to play it again on a day where I'm just going to go out and like, I actually care about my score, because I think I would have played the course totally different than what I did out there. Cause I mean, I was out there to hang out with you guys and enjoy myself, and my mind was still soft capped, for lack of a better term. And I told you there is like, I just at that point, like I still just didn't have the mentality of like, okay, let's go and actually golf my ball at times. But I think I would have played a lot of those holes totally different. But when everybody in your group is banging driver, I mean, I'm going to bang driver.
Right. That's just so the way that's, it is. So we played, was it round one or round two we played together?
Round one.
And we all went full gas on the driver. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Who knows? I'll figure out whether it's a bad thing.
What's
later.
Down there? I don't know.
So we ended up playing, I think, three total rounds there in 2 days. And the final round, which we didn't get to play together, I actually hit iron off and our utility off those tees. And I felt sort of, fatigued is the word I would use, but I felt sort of nerfed in how I was going about it. But it was so fun to experience the course in a different way. And I wanted to get there. Now, the one hole I did it really poorly on was number 10. I tried to hit it out to the right and I just, I overcooked a draw to the left. And I was like, well, this kind of looks just the same way as I did with the driver, except I hit this, you know, way better. So, you know, that was kind of fun. But yeah, Briggs is cool, man. I love that Dormy has properties that are so unique and have their own presence that, you know, THP does this incredible thing where they take regular golfers to all these different courses for experiences with different companies. And while each of the courses have their, while the idea of the experience has a similar feel, each golf course that you go to has a very unique component to it. So Briggs, for example, everyone geeks out after dinner where they're all full and maybe a little drunk. They go into the huge pot bunker they have behind the practice green and see if they can get out of there, which was super fun for us. Yeah, I just dig that, man. And I think I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think they have good. Hidden Creek this week, which mm-hmm. We haven't seen a ton. So I'm super excited to follow that one too.
Yeah. And I mean, but like Briggs fits the Texas thing as much as I love to give Texas crap. Like the clubhouse is this huge, just gorgeous thing. Right. I mean, like you said, with the giant pot bunkers, that chipping area is massive and just as gnarly as every green that's out on the course too. I feel like we got kind of lucky that the greens weren't running really fast, because I would really like to experience all those green complexes when they've got the speed way up and they're all the way healed and all the way back. Cause I think that could like mentally break some people.
I was really hoping the greens would be dialed up one or two more points. I thought they were a bit slow for what my expectations were. They weren't slow for the average golf course. Mm-hmm. I expected them to be diabolical. So I putted like they were diabolical and I found myself having to putt again, which is unfortunate. But yeah, dude, I think that's such a cool experience getting out there. I can't wait to go back if I'm fortunate enough to do that. But yeah, I mean, you've played Ballyhack and Briggs
that's
now.
It. Yeah.
So you said you prefer the presentation of Ballyhack, but
yeah.
Do you feel a little bit more home at Briggs?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's something I'm much more familiar with. I mean, not necessarily the level of like, 'cause around here, like it's hard to go to a place where you get that many tiers and stuff on greens. Well, it's mainly courses like that, but it's something that I mean, I didn't feel like I'd traveled to some crazy place. Like I go to Ballyhack and we go into Roanoke and everything. And it's just, you know, it's carved into the hills and it's just this totally different visual. And I think it's so cool that Dormy has that and they continue to expand all of these different courses that each have their own. I mean, there's nothing similar about them other than they're owned by the same, network. I think that's pretty cool.
So speaking of traveling large distances, any truth to the rumor that you're going to be renting some clubs here in a couple weeks,
man? So yeah, I am 12 days. Yeah. 12 days away from getting on a plane and going to Scotland, for my 40th birthday with no golf clubs. So, it's both exciting. And at the same time, I'm like, cause our last day, our last days are going to be spent in St. Andrews. So
St. Andrews is like their version of like a national park, isn't it? Like once the golf is done, or as it slows down a bit, I'm pretty sure people just go and walk it and experience the golf course as well.
So I think that's the plan for Amanda and I is we're going to be able to go down there. So I'm going to be able to go see the old course and go step on it and do all that.
Step on it.
That's all I want. It sounds so dumb, but like I am so pumped about this trip for me and her to get to go do all the other things. I'm actually not I've had a bunch of people asking me like, you're not bringing clubs. It's like, man, it's not really even been a thought. This isn't really a golf trip. It's kind
until
of just
you get there. She just sees you sitting in the corner chewing on a glass of Guinness. Like, all right, dude, just go run some clubs.
That's what Dean told me. He's like, you're going to want to play. Cause you know, when he and Jen went, and I'm like, I'm sure. But I mean, if I get to see the old course, that'll be pretty special. It'll make me want to go back and I'm all for that.
Can I get a video of Doc Miles doing Gangnam Style on the old course?
Probably not.
You know, I'll tell you what, one of my earliest memories on THP, we had a member who lived in that area and he sent me a ball marker from St. Andrews, but what he sent in the PM to me after I received it was a picture of the ball marker sitting on the 18th green at St. Andrews. And I'm like, dude, that is the
It takes coolest, it to a whole different level.
Yep. Coolest thing. And not only have I never touched it, it's never left the little thing that it sits in. So it's like, it may still have like residue from the course on it. Cause I refuse to like,
sacred.
You know, touch it with my juices or whatever you call it, my hand grease. I don't ever. Yeah, that sounded horrible.
That sounded terrible.
You
that
can't was not, edit in video, folks. You can enjoy that. Your best. The hand grease. dude, I could go. Oh man, that's too bad. As we talk about St. Andrews, I mean, it kind of fits, but whatever.
It works. It works for us.
Well, I hope you have an awesome trip, man. Like that sounds crazy fun. I know it's something I've been dying to do, but. Yeah, I don't know how many years I am before I actually am willing to go.
I mean, she booked it and she did it. Otherwise, I would probably have kept him hawing about it forever. So we're going to go spend 10 days out there away from kids and spend umpteen hours on an airplane to get there. And I'm excited. It's going to be cool. It's going to be really cool.
I keep waiting for my ticket to arrive in the mail. It's just hasn't shown up. So
I keep waiting for them to invent teleports already so we can just make this a lot easier on everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those podcasts. We're going to start talking about that. Maybe pass. We'll stick with the things we know pretty good. So you've been reviewing some, quite a few shafts lately, eh? You've been doing, mm-hmm. I think I saw like the new whiteboard from Diamana on there. Some really cool stuff from Artera.
Which the Arteras in, the Alpha Ones, yeah.
It's Alex D, the brain behind some pretty big shafts that are well known in the industry. What's that been like, man? Are you seeing some good product coming out?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of shaft reviews recently. Before that, we had Excalibur. I think I did 14 different shafts across all those. So that was a lot of adapters and things. So, but as of the last couple of weeks, it's been Arteria. We had the Alpha One, the blue, and the gray. That I got to work with in the AI Smoke Triple Diamond. And then I just finished and it went up the night we're recording this, that day, this week at least, on the new whiteboard from Mitsubishi with the Diamana line. And it was put into the Dark Speed DSLS. And they've both been different, but really, really cool, because I've had experience with whiteboard before and in the past with whiteboard the name kind of fit it, and now there's this feel aspect to it that's unexpected based on we start seeing all these shaft companies are using less and less resin and more carbon, so the feel completely changes. I mean, with Arteria the story's similar, right, with them using the weave that they're going into it, like when Alex was on your show and talking about it all, and it takes what you expected, like me going into it expecting Ventus because it's Alex D, and you get the downrange of that, but you get a completely different feel with the consistency, and it's just wild what's starting to happen in the golf shaft segment.
Yeah, the weave sounds kind of insane. I love that companies, and I sort of touched on this a little bit recently, how companies can arrive at the same conclusion in their own form, but you know, certainly the results will differ in subtle ways, and that includes things like feel or, you know, presentation or material. There's so many things that can go into it that sort of attack the elements that need to be, you know, sort of harnessed, if you will, in a golf swing, and then unleashed as well. So do you have a shaft right now that you would say is sort of leading the charge, something that you're super excited to really put some time in with?
I mean, I think for me right now, it took me to this point in the year to find a head that was going to be the one that I'm that has tested the best for me as far as speeds and everything else. And so now it's dialing everything else in with it. And I right now it really is. It's been the whiteboard today. That's what I actually plugged back in for this round that I went out with the 63X. And I mean, I felt as point and shoot at times as I have in a long while. So I think I'm going to run with that for a little bit. I've got some UST Mamiya some of the different links that I'm still messing with. So the answer is, do I have a single one? No, I've probably got like eight. But that's what we got. What you were talking about with like the handicap thing and aspect. There's so many things, like when your clubs change all the time, it's just kind of the nature of it. I mean, we've got a Wilson Iron review coming up with the Dynapower Forged. And so I just shot 68 with my Apexes, my CBs and MPs, and they're going to go out the door and we're going to bring something else in. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Well, what I love about it is you switch a head, you switch the need of a shaft as well.
So, correct.
You know, as much as you might find the perfect pairing for, let's say, the Dark Speed, I mean, hell, you could have a perfect pairing for all the different driver heads in the Dark Speed lineup. It's not so simple as saying, well, this is my shaft. It's like, this is my shaft with this head.
I think that's something that's really lost on a lot of people. And I mean, you and I have seen it for years. You get somebody that has the previous generation of whatever brand. Well, I had this shaft and I was fit to that and it works in this head, so I'm going to put it in the next one. And then it doesn't mesh. And you're trying to explain to them, like, the heads change. Like, as much as some people don't want to admit because of their on the button bias, and that's all they seem to be worried about, everything else has changed. If you listen to the Yagley show, please, people, listen to the Yagley show, because that's, I mean, he breaks it down perfectly. For they're fighting for half grams, for quarter grams, and that quarter gram changes entirely the whole dynamic of the head, which means odds are the shaft profile is going to play completely different in the other head than it did in the previous one. So, I mean, I think it's an interesting thing to try to get across to people.
Yeah. Well, I think back to my favorite driver days and how deeply obsessed I was with the
Matrix black tie, right?
No, no. God, no. Oh my goodness, no.
I just gave you nightmares.
Oh man. We can't edit this out either.
No, I sent you to a dark place, didn't I?
That is a shame. No, because that was back when I actually had a good swing, so I could just like put it away. Like I remember snapping one in half years later thinking like, haha, take that. No, the OG hazardous yellow I thought was like the pinnacle of golf shafts. But it was just the low spin, limited forgiveness heads at the time.
Counterbalance.
So good with the counterbalance built into it that, man, I could do whatever I want, whenever I wanted with it. Yeah. And things have changed, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see as I develop my driver swing again, which folks, I know we talk about this like every other week, and I'm sorry that it's become such a thing, but it really has evolved for 24. I'm no longer interested in just being miserable with it. So
I can confirm.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to segment into a deeper conversation later in the year when I land on a shaft that I think is really supporting my driver. Right now I have AI Smoke in the bag, which is an unbelievable product from Callaway. So far as I can tell, I actually had three unsolicited or unpredicted discussions other people have started about AI Smoke. I'm like, yeah, I actually use that driver. That's interesting. Like the guy who switched from, I think, there's a pretty funny story. Maybe he listens. He's actually my dad's neighbor. He's like, so I took a practice swing the other day the other week with my Paradigm driver, which I love. And I may have let go of it. Like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, it ended up in the pond. I was like, oh God. So then we made a makeshift, like harpoon out of a rake and, tied it up to some rope that was sitting there attached. I'm like, dude, you're making all this nonsense up. There's
this
no,
can't be real, right?
He's like, oh yeah. Cause there's more. And I was like, okay. So finally we get it and I didn't quite get it. So I threw it one more time and the rake pierced the top of the Paradigm head.
So he cracked the carbon on the top.
Yeah. So he's like, well, it was easy to pull it after that because it was embedded in the head. I was like, oh, that's great. So he's like, yeah. So I went and took it in. I said, I need another Callaway driver head. So they gave me AI Smoke. And oh my goodness, it was so funny. Like he goes from a horror story to finding a new product he absolutely adores. And I think that's pretty much the resounding perspective. And I think that's probably why Callaway was so comfortable with comparing AI Smoke to Paradigm. Yep. Because they understood they had a great product and they somehow managed to make it even better. So, Yeah, that was a totally unintentional plug for a great driver, but definitely worth it. I think it's worth at least hitting a little bit. So yeah, I've got a bunch of shafts here. I'm really looking forward to swinging a little bit better and then being able to run through my gamut of stock and seeing if I can really create a good marriage.
You dial it all in. What's working with the move and what's working within the head? It's just like, I mean, we always talk about the golf balls under thought too. The same thing happens with people just thinking they can play the same driver shaft forever. I mean, it just doesn't typically work that way. Just because you see Tiger and guys like that doing it, it doesn't mean that it's not tipped 3 inches in this driver head where it was tipped a half of an inch in the other driver head, you know?
Right.
Those things matter. And as amateurs, it's a little bit of a different game for us, but it's also hard to go trial all that stuff. So I get it. It's part of the journey.
Well, I just use a different golf ball from different companies on every hole. They're all the same.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Yeah.
Most certainly do not. So we're about at time. So, my guy, do you have anything, final thoughts, madness, chaos?
And I have no madness. I'm ready. I'm ready for us to get back into some more major golf and some more chaos. And we've got the human asterisk himself getting to play in the next major. So we're going to have some good stuff to talk about.
You didn't say a word about me using a mallet either. So we'll have to save that for next time.
I figured I'd be nice. I mean, do you want to talk about my putter?
No, I don't.
Okay. That's next what I thought.
Next time. Hopefully it'll be a different one by then. Anyways, hey buddy, thank you so much for coming on and have a great time on your trip overseas. I can't wait to get that text that says I rented some golf clubs.
I would not be surprised if it goes that way.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Make it count. But don't go so low that you destroy your handicap. No, I'm just messing around. Play your best golf. Put every ball in the hole that you can. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.